A very good morning to all of you. Welcome to our worship service this morning. It's good to see all of you here, bright and cheery. I hope you enjoyed the sunshine this morning as you come to church. Now, some years ago, a well-known comedian committed suicide. Suicide and self-harm of any form are such tragedies in life. And if anyone hearing this sermon has even the slightest inclination of suicide, please seek help from me or anyone else. When Robin Williams took his own life, it was all the more shocking because, of all people, comedians seem to have that special gift of seeing humor in just about any circumstances, right? So it really bewildered everyone, especially for Oscar-winning Robin Williams, who had everything going for him. Ask just about anybody in the streets, and they'll probably gladly swap lives with Robin until that tragic news, that is. Now, I'm not making light of Robin's suffering. His suffering was real. That's why it's important we talk about it, because help's available for such illnesses. It's sad when someone who brings so much laughter to others, but he himself struggled with life. Now, equally sad is also the condition for Christians. Why are some Christians whose faith supposedly is a faith of joy, yet live their life so lacking in joy? Yes, they may go to church, but often not because they want to or they like to. Rather, they feel like they have to. It's like such a chore. Their faith should be a faith that liberates them, yet they feel so shackled. Their faith should be a joy, but it's more like a joke, you know, the butt of a joke. What about ECCSians? Are you joyless Christians? The opening video that we had today is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. But I wonder if the expressions of your faces match the lyrics. What about the condition of your hearts? Today's scripture passage from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, the last phrase, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." So, is your Christian faith a joy, or is it just a joke? Are you strengthened by the joy of the Lord, or do you feel more like being weighed down as if a millstone is tied around your neck? So let's dig into today's scripture to see how God will speak to you today about finding the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Let's pause for prayer first. Almighty God, as we come before you, we confess that life can get bewildering and sometimes even beyond what we can bear. That's why we need you to speak to us, to give us hope that joy is possible because of who you are and what you have done for us. We appeal to you, Lord Holy Spirit. Reveal to us how we can find joy through your inspired words in Nehemiah. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading that Helen has read so well with so many difficult names is from chapter 8, verses 1 to 10 of Nehemiah. However, today's sermon will cover chapters 8 to 11. You are starting to look a bit weary. 4 freaking chapters. We're going to be here all day. No worries, I'm not going to do them verse by verse. However, I would encourage you to read them on your own. The reason for covering 4 chapters in one chunk is because it is about a process. A process, that's the process of repopulating Jerusalem. So, it begins in chapter 7, verses 4 to 5. Let me read for you. Now the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and the houses had not yet been built. So how to repopulate the city of Jerusalem? That's right. Register the people to live in it. So verse 5 says, my God put into my heart to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the common people for registration by families. And from last week's sermon, I pointed out that the name lists, though they may take up so much ink and so much space and boring to read, but they show that people matter most to God. Hence, each individual name is lovingly and painstakingly listed in chapter 7. The repopulating exercise started in chapter 7 is completed in Nehemiah 11. So let me read that for you. 11 verse 1. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. So Jerusalem is repopulated, including 10% of Israelites that are picked by casting lots. The rest of the people, they live in the countryside, the suburbs, so to speak. But a few things happened in the repopulation exercise. And I want to point them out so that we can also apply these lessons to ourselves as to how God may repopulate ECCS, this church. I believe these lessons are about finding the joy of the Christian faith. And maybe there are more people who can do with some joy in their life, especially the unchanging, the everlasting, and the free joy that comes from the Lord. And that's the sense of today's sermon title, Finding Joy. You know, finding joy is not that it is joy is so well hidden, or that you have to look high and low with no assurance that you'll actually find it. That would be look. You know, when you look, you don't know whether you can get it, right? You have to look for it. Here is finding. That means you can find it. Finding joy is in the affirmative, that you can and do find it. So, where can you find the joy of the Lord? That's the first point we're going to think about. Where do you find the joy of the Lord? You find joy in the Bible. Find joy in the Bible. Now, for those of you who have the Bibles handy, please open to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. Today's scripture. Let me read it for you. 8, verse 1. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. The book of the law of Moses. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the first place to look for joy in the Lord is the Bible. The Bible is where you find the joy of the Lord. But what's meant by the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is the joy that you have out of your experience with God. That's the joy of the Lord, out of your experience with God. To illustrate, let me compare to the joy of chocolates, let's say. When eating chocolate, you have the joy of the chocolate. The chocolatiness of the chocolate, its taste, the milky texture that melts in your mouth, the sensation you get in your palate when you taste chocolate, that's your experience when you eat chocolate. Now, of course, this is only an illustration, okay? For it pales in comparison to the infinite goodness of God at so many levels. For one, we don't eat God, right? We just relate to Him. Not like chocolate, we eat it. But with God, we relate to Him. The joy of the Lord is the joy that we possess and experience when we have a relationship with the infinitely good God. That's the joy of the Lord, experiencing God. So, It should surprise us that the Bible, that is the God's word, is where we find the joy of the Lord. The trouble is, the Bible is so readily available, we take it for granted. Oh, it's just a book. I mean, what else can you do with a book except read it, right? After all, it's not like a toy or a gadget that at least you can play with it and have some fun with it. Kind of like this little boy who brought his Bible, his family Bible on the coffee table to his father. So the boy asked, "What is this, Daddy?" "It's the Bible. It's God's book," the dad replied. "Then should we give it back to him since we don't use it at all?" I wonder if our attitude towards the Word of God needs adjustment. Of course, the Bible is not the easiest book to understand, but neither is the medical book, or the architecture book, or finance book, all these different textbooks that you have to read, yet you study them. Why? Because whether it is you need to pass exams, or you need to make a living, people read books. No problems with that. So the question is, do you need the Bible? The answer is yes. Not just for a job, not just for earning a living, not just for your exams, but for eternal purposes, for meaning in your life, for purpose in your life. One of the greatest revivals is the Reformation, also known as the Protestant movement. Now, I preached about that early in the year. Many factors led to it, of course, but the greatest factor was people paid attention to the Bible. People actually read the Bible. Today, for us, it's no big deal to read the Bible because we can understand it in our language. But in those days, if you want to read the Bible, you have to know the particular language. At that time, was Latin, the most common one, and not many people knew it. So today, we're very blessed. In every house, probably in every coffee table, there's a Bible. The trouble is, we treat it as if it belongs to God and not to be touched by us. It's not. The Bible is God's word to us, His gift to us. So where can Christians find joy, the joy of the Lord? We find it in the Bible. That's point number one. Now that we know the where to find the joy, we move to how to find the joy. How to find the joy? You find joy by comparing the before and after pictures. In other words, the circumstances of your life. Before you found God, before you experienced God, you had a certain life. And after you found God, you have a different set of life. Can you tell the difference? This point comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 13 to 18. I will not read the entire paragraph, but it's a paragraph that tells us about the Israelites celebrating the festival of booths. Well, perhaps celebrating is an overstatement. Why? Because it's more like punishment. All right? The festival of booths is a festival where they give up the comforts of their home and they go and live in a constructed tent of leaves or branches of temporary materials. In Malaysia, we will call them atap house, you know, that are meant to last for a long time. You can't even have open fire in it. It's so dangerous. So for 7 days, the Israelites, they lived in the shacks made of sticks and leaves. And the purpose of this celebration, if you can call it that, is to remind the Israelites what life was like before. In fleeing from the Egyptian slavery, the ancestors lived in temporary shelters for 40 years in the desert. So by reliving the difficult past, the Israelites are reminded about how good they have it at the moment, how good the present is. But they don't know how good the present is until they compare to what it was like before. The before and after pictures. It's analogous to the before and after photos for people, you know, going through weight loss programs. You get the kick out of comparing what it was like before with the newer and the better picture now. Now, many Christians have forgotten the joy of the Lord because we have forgotten what it was like in our lives without God. As we enjoy life with God, we begin to take this privilege as an entitlement, as if I deserve God. Worse still, as if God deserves me. I'm so good. God deserves to have me to enjoy. I mean, God should be so lucky to have such a good person as me in His kingdom, right? Not the right attitude. No wonder we don't have the joy of the Lord, or the joy of the Lord is hard to find. You seldom see joy in some people's lives because they've forgotten the misery and hopelessness of a life without God. However, my hunch is most of the people here, we haven't completely forgotten God. It's more a case of life circumstances that maybe distract us from God. Or maybe because we feel so down, so in despair, as if we are not worthy of God, we don't think that God will bother with us. That's why we are robbed of this joy. So on one hand, you have people whose lives are so good, you are so busy enjoying the milk and honey, so to speak, you have forgotten God. God is there, but it's, you know, so low down, you can't even see Him in your daily life. So that's one category. On the other hand, some people may be so bombarded with life's many problems that you cannot see past them in order to see God. It's like all that surrounds you are all the problems and the heavy weight that weigh you down, that really press upon your eyes that you cannot even open them to see God. So brothers and sisters in Christ, you may have dodged the pandemic bullet, and certainly, you know, today we are still facing some of these aftermaths from this pandemic. We are hit with inflation. Maybe some people's job prospects are not as good as you want it to be. And even, especially in the state of Victoria, even some of the places are still awash with flood water. Life is not easy. That's why the Festival of Booths is a helpful reminder for the Israelites. So maybe it's good for us to compare as well. No matter what circumstances we are in now, at least we are in it with God on our side, rather than just in it on our own. So like the Israelites who have gone through the experience of the booths, to let them realize how good life is in the normal lives, that perhaps we Christians can also compare our lives with and without God, so that we know there is so much joy in our lives because we don't go through it alone. And we even have brothers and sisters in Christ to help us, who pray for us, who intercede for us, who encourage us, who visit us. So for Christians, you don't have a festival of roughing it out, okay? Not that I'll recommend it. But perhaps it will help you to reflect upon how hopeless or meaningless life is without God, so that you can tell the difference between having God compared to not having God. So how can you have a faith of joy and not a joke? By comparing the before and after pictures of your lives. That makes you realize the difference God makes in your lives. And that brings me to the third point. If God is the difference in your lives, what about God that can make this difference? The third point is to find joy in the character of God, or the nature of God. There are many ways to describe this, the character of God. For this point, it comes from chapters 9 and 10, particularly chapter 9, verse 5. There at chapter 9, verse 5 is the beginning of a long prayer, a prayer that lasts 34 verses. It is the longest prayer recorded in the Bible. Repeatedly, this is what it does. It recounts the goodness of God. That is the character of God, the goodness of God. It goes beyond all expectations, how the righteous God relates to sinful people in the most gracious and merciful way. Repeatedly, the Israelites did not receive the punishment they deserved. Instead, they received God's unfailing love that they did not deserve. That's a prayer attesting to God's character, His loving, His divine attributes. Friends, the joy of the Lord is solely because of the character of God. This includes the inexhaustible extent He will go for the sake of His people. So why are you limping around in your Christian walk as if your God is incompetent, inconsistent, or irrelevant? You should be oozing with joy of the Lord because of who He is and what He has done for you. If your faith is a joke and not joy, it's time you look at the object of your faith, God Himself. And each time that you feel like, oh dear, God is not near me, just open your eyes and see, as sure as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, God is with you each day, day in, day out. So friends, the Christian faith is a faith of joy. It is not a joke. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You have the Bible to show you that if only you will take the time and trouble to examine and discover it. That's right. You have to take the time and trouble to discover it. The Bible is there. And it will show you that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why at the reading of the scriptures, people were so touched, so encouraged. They thought all hopes are gone. They were exiled, but yet 70 years later, they could be standing right there in Jerusalem at the temple and reading and hearing God's word again. So the source of the joy of the strength is God, and you can find that in the Bible. You can compare your before and after pictures of your lives with and without God. And this emphasizes this joy, this assurance comes because of the character of God for what He has done for you. And this we see in the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yet through it all, just like God does not force you to put your faith in Him, neither does He force you to find the joy of the Lord. So, to close, let me ask you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. Let me read this for you, chapter 11, verses 1 to 2. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 of them to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. The people commanded all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. The people commanded all those who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. There were some that were to live in Jerusalem because of the the responsibility, like the priests, the Levites, and there are some others who were picked out of the lot of 10% of those. And yet there's also others who volunteer themselves to live in the city of Jerusalem. The joy of the Lord, though it is available to all believers of Jesus Christ, it is not forced upon them. How Jerusalem is repopulated includes those who volunteer. Yes, God called out his people through casting lots, 10% of them, to live in Jerusalem. Equally striking is that these people, you know, willingly respond to it. And on top of that, there were others who volunteered. Verse 2 tells us, the man who volunteered, not the man who were dragged into Jerusalem. Perhaps joy of the Lord is elusive to you because you are dragged to church, that you are dragged into these Christian circles. Seems to me the joy of the Lord is God's will for all to believe. But if your faith is a joke instead of a joy, maybe it's time that you re-examine whether you are dragged into this thing called church, or you are willing, you volunteer yourself to submit at the throne of grace. Amen.